Congregation, the portion of God's word that we wish to read this morning, you can find recorded in the book of Psalms, there of Psalm 61. But first we will read the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 61, to the chief musician upon Negea, a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Johnny Van Sluis, who is still in the community care beds here in Fort McLeod. And let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast given us our life, thou who dost extend unto us our life even to this moment in this morning, to bring us to the light of a new day and also to a new Sabbath day. Despite all that we have been in the week that is gone by, what has been done by our hands and what has been spoken by our mouths, and what has been the thought of our hearts, and yet our lives, they are spared by Thee. When it may be viewed in the light of our creation and Thy purpose, then it is a wonder that Thou hast not yet cut us off and cast us forever from Thy presence. Lord, Thou art Thine eye that does see into the heart of each and every one of us. And who can then put his hand into his own bosom and take it out clean? Oh, Thou knowest that we think of ourselves to be righteous. But Lord, give that a little affliction. May be laid upon us, and we do find out what is living within our hearts. The rebellion against Thee, that if Thou dost not prevent, that it would break forth. For the patience of Thy servant Job, to have everything taken away from him in one moment, and yet to bless the name of the Lord. And yet Thou knowest how that Satan did come, curse God and die. O Lord, that Thou Thyself may look upon each and every one of us, that Thou would forgive and take away all of our many sins and everything that is against Thee. For Thy goodness over us is, and Thy long-suffering that is so very, very great. And we have also to give an account, therefore, on that great day of days. For when we have been brought up under Thy truth, and when we have heard Thy word, then the stripes, they are only going to be increased. When we shall be cast into that eternal pit where hope shall never come. O Lord, that Thou may remember each and every one on our journey to a great eternity. This life that seems to have so much to offer, but the devil, he is a liar from the beginning. And Thou knowest how that our hearts, they are drawn after all that is in this world and all that is of the flesh, that is soon passing away. And Thou sayest that we ought to redeem the time because the days are evil. But we have no desire after Thee unless Thou wilt plant it in our hearts. Then we can only ask of Thee to be the first one, as Thou hast always been in the life of Thy dear children, which they must confess, that it was nothing from my side. And had the Lord left me to myself, then I had gone on in that same way that I had been born. But it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And Thou hast been the first one for each and every one of Thy people, to stop them upon that broad road that's going to that great eternal pit, and to say so far and no further. O Lord, we can only beseech it of Thee in this morning hour, that Thou may do so for each and every one of us. That we, as we travel to that great eternity, and may be arrested by the power of Thy Holy Spirit, and that light may shine from above, even as we are rebelling against Thee and against Thy people and against Thy kingdom, and that Thou would speak from heaven, and that we may receive a true need in our life to cry out unto the true and the living God. That there may be new desires born, O Lord, desires after Thee, beside all those desires that are after all of the prince of darkness, Oh, that thou may give a new longing, a new hungering, and a new thirsting after the true and the living God. Oh, that we may be brought with weeping and with supplications from that place that we have brought ourselves of in our rebellion, in our deep fall. And when we have rejected thee, and when we have said we will not have thee to reign over us, and when thou hast also sent thine only begotten Son into this world, and when we may hear that name, that only name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved, and but we still do turn our backs upon thee, and when thou sayest it is without money and it is without price. Oh, when thou sayest, turn ye, for why shall we die? And when thou sayest, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they would turn unto me and live. Oh, how much we have to give an account for in that great day of days. And do bind these matters, O Lord, upon the hearts of each and every one of us. And wilt thou look upon all those that have been born of thee? Oh, thou knowest that they see it not in themselves. Oh, thou knowest also the turmoil that can be within. Oh, so far away from thee. Thou knowest the missing, Lord. Oh, could it please thee in this day to feed them with a little from above, a crumb, that is from their side undeserved, but for which they will so magnify thy name. If they may receive a little light out of heaven, that they may receive a little crumb in the hunger and a little drop in the thirst. For it is a Meshech that they travel through here below. And Lord, thou knowest that there is a people who cannot return unto thee, for they have left thee days without number, and thy mercies in their life, they have been so very, very great. Their mouths, they have spoken of that hope, and they have also testified unto loved ones and unto others. And thou knowest how also that it is in this day. O Lord, could it please thee to supply for those who have wandered away and who stand in need of a great shepherd because they cannot find that way back again. And thou who hast left the 99 and who hast gone after that one sheep and that was lost, oh, we ask of thee that thou may remember thy own people when they are going about the streets. And when they are speaking to the daughters of Jerusalem, saw ye him, whom my soul loved. Lord, that thou would remember them, and that thou would give them a little token from above, and that thou still knowest where they are, and that thou may reveal thyself in the life of thy people, to give them a little joy in the midst of their sorrows and of all their grief, to give them to see once again thy only begotten Son, and that they may have a little hope while they are traveling through this world, and while the prince of darkness, his devices are so, so very many. Lord, that thou may supply for those that are in the warfare against that triple-headed enemy. Thou knowest all that comes against them. Lord, deliver them. Supply for all those that are needy. Also in this world, remember her that is in the hospital. Lord, wilt thou visit her also when she may listen this day by church telephone. Oh, give her a little token for good in that place where she does dwell. And all those that are needy, young and old together, that are children that have to suffer. Oh, supply for them in the days of their childhood. And give also for our youth
we may gather with them in the day of yesterday. Lord, the Satan, he goes about as a roaring lion and as an angel of light, seeking whom he may devour. And the hearts of our youth, oh, they are as our hearts, the hearts of their parents. And they are also so inclined after all the devil's works. But oh, could it please thee to look upon them and to give them to remember their Creator in the days of their youth, and that they may have that new life to be born in an early time, that their whole life that may be given to the service of the Lord. Wilt thou supply for all thy truly sent servants in this world, increase their number on the mission field in the established churches, and do give that thy kingdom may come. For thou knowest how that the doctrine also that is watered away, oh, then we are losing that old truth that our forefathers have so fought and stood for. Oh, could it please thee to convert us, Lord, to convert young and old together, then that truth that will be precious unto our hearts. And then we shall never depart from it. Oh, keep us, Lord, for we need to be kept with all our own strength. Then it is insufficient. And all our own wisdom, we can only spoil everything. But we beseech thee that thy power and thy arm that may be experienced, that it may be felt, and that it may also be evident in this day. Oh, help us to bring thy word in this morning hour. Thou knowest what we stand in need of. In our body, oh, help us, Lord. In our mind, give us clarity. In our soul, give us urgency. And oh, give us love. And may it please thee to bless thy word, and that it may be for true conversion, and that it may be for edification, and that it may be for the building up of thy kingdom, for the comfort of thy church, for the rebuke of those that sin, and for the bringing of those that have wandered. Oh, we ask thee, Lord, that thy presence, that thy nearness may be felt, may be experienced undeservedly. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 117 all stanzas. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee. For thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? The last collection today is for the Calgary Repayment Fund. Psalter 117, stanzas 1 through 4.
Beloved congregation, we read in God's word, two men went up to the temple to pray. Are you a praying man? Praying woman? Are you a praying boy? Praying girl? Two men went up to the temple to pray. What a great difference. In the outward form, yes, we all pray. Thus we say these two men, they were doing both the same thing. Both in the temple to pray. And yet, they were doing a very greatly different thing. And for the one man, and then we read, he gives thanks. Must we not do that? Oh, certainly. We do not do it enough. Oh, we cannot acknowledge the Lord enough. We do not see. We do not realize the blessings that are given to us above so many in this world. So we stood, I thank thee. And yet when you read it, and then you can hear that it is a man who is still under a broken covenant. Much religion. A man in an outward way, we say he's a man, and that there is no one that can throw a stone at him. And yet, oh, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Oh, what a difference. When we read about that second man, because we read something so different. We read something so simple that was missing in the prayer of that first man, of that Pharisee. What was that, children? What was missing? It was a supplication. A supplication. There was no need in the heart of that Pharisee. He asked the Lord for nothing. He had everything already. And therefore, there was no honor. There was no glory to be given by the Lord. What is that thing? We have spoken about it a little yesterday, young people. What is that for which the Lord is going to be so glorified and so magnified in that great day of days? That is going to be for mercy. It is going to be for grace. That is the purpose of the creation. That was the purpose of the fall. That was the purpose of redemption. And for this, the Lord is going to receive the highest honor. And that is why that prayer of that Pharisee that contained no need, there was nothing for the Lord to do for him. Nothing. The Lord, his grace, his mercy, that could not be glorified in that man. But now the publican, so simple, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We read this of David. We heard it. He says, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. There is there a need. There is there a supplication. David needs an answer. That publican, he needed an answer to his cry. Do you need an answer too? Do you need an answer too? Or is the prayer sufficient that we have done our duty? We wish to consider this with the Lord's help in this morning hour. Out of Psalm 61, the second verse. Psalm 61, the second verse. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So far the words of our text. And we wish to consider David's cry. First, the place from which this cry is coming. Where is it? He says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Second, the condition in which this cry comes. When my heart is overwhelmed. And last, the matter for which this cry is born. He says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Thus, David's cry, the place, the condition, and the matter. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Congregation, most believe that this psalm was written by David in the circumstances of his fleeing from his own son Absalom. We know that when David has first fled, that he has fled to Mahanaim. He has had to cross over the river Jordan that he may flee as soon as possible because Absalom, he is coming with all of his army. And so David, he is fleeing into actually the land of the tribe of Gad, that is the place where Ishbosheth had originally centered his kingdom. And this David, he says, from the end of the earth. Thus, David, he is speaking about being outside of that land of Canaan that was over that river Jordan. We say, well, that was not actually outside of the land of Canaan because the 2.5 tribes, they have dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And yet, that was not considered the land of Canaan proper. We know that Moses, when he had to die, and then he had to die and be buried on the other side of Jordan. Thus, David is speaking about the ends of the earth. Actually, he is not so far away in a physical way. But David, he is so far away in his feelings. He says, from the end of the earth. And why? What does David feel? Well, congregation, he feels separation. Separation. Do you feel separation? There are those of us, we have to be separated sometimes from our loved ones. How was that for David? Does he say from the ends of the earth because he is so far away from his family and from all those that love him? Congregation, they are with him. Thus, David, he is not saying that from the ends of the earth because he is so far away from his children, from his loved ones. No. What does he miss? Does he miss the throne? Does he miss the honor? Does he miss the authority? Does he miss the power of that throne? Or we read nothing of the kind from the ends of the earth. Is it because David has been rejected by a portion of his kingdom, and that they do not desire him to be king, that that conspiracy that was so very strong, and that he feels as one that has been rejected? Or we read nothing of the kind. Oh, David, what does he miss? David, he misses the tabernacle of the Lord. David, he misses that place where the Lord reveals himself. David, he misses that place where the Lord comes to give him instruction. David, he misses that place where the Lord is giving his comforts unto his children, that he may experience something of the nearness of the Lord, of the goodness of the Lord. That is, congregation, the fruit of what? That is the fruit of regeneration. Because then there is a missing, children, of what? Then we begin to miss the Lord. That is, him whom we have left in paradise. That is not only me, that is also you, that is everyone in this world, that we have left God in paradise, and we have yet that innate knowledge of him. We can say there is no God, but we cannot rid ourselves of that innate knowledge of God. We can, with all the power, the force of our human nature, try to forget God, but we are not able to forget him. Or in the rebellion of our nature, we depart from him days without number. We turn our backs unto him. Or we are following that same one who Adam has chosen to follow in paradise. Do you ever feel it? But what is now happening in that new birth? Oh, then there is a stopping of a man. There is a turning of a man. And there is a planting of a new desire, a new heart, children. Oh, what does that mean to receive a new heart? Oh, that means that we have a new longing. That means we have a new desire. And that means we have a desire after the true and after the living God. Oh, then we are looking that we may return to him. That we may receive again something of that communion that we know that we have lost in paradise. By nature, having no desire for it anymore, but by grace, by regeneration, by the fruit of the Spirit of the Lord, and that new desire that is being born once again. And now this is the burden of David. Oh, then he has written it as by the inspiration of the Lord. One day in thy house that is better than 1,000 dwelling in the tents of wickedness. Oh, is that also the estimation that we have of the house of the Lord? Those Gibeonites, they were given a task. You remember who they were, children. They have deceived Joshua. And they were actually those that should have been slain of the Canaanites. But they have come in their deceit. And in their haste, without seeking the direction of the Lord, Joshua and the elders, they have sworn to them, and they had to keep to their oath that they had sworn. And thus, what did they do? They made them hewers of wood and drawers of water for the service of the Lord. That is something. What those people received there, is it not? Because actually, they should have been slain. And they are given actually such a blessed place, aren't they? Because their whole life, we say that's the work of a slave. Oh, their whole life that is actually for that service of the Lord. Oh, we would say the lowest place in that house of the Lord, David says, to be just a doorkeeper there in the house of the Lord. Oh, does that live also in our hearts? Oh, if we could have the smallest place in the kingdom of God, if we would not be renowned, no, among men, for the greatness of anything, not also of spiritual gifts, but only to have the smallest place, that I may also be near unto God. All that is the burden of David, because that new life that is longing for him, that is, when it is right, more than the desires after our own family. We know that Ruth, that she has forsaken father and mother, that she may come under the dwelling of the Lord God of Israel. Oh, how is it with us? That service of the Lord, the day of the Lord, can we so easily leave the house of the Lord alone, congregation? On the Sabbath day, that we are going here or there, and that we can be away from the house of the Lord? Oh, what was the burden? What was the burden of David? David, he was forced out. Sometimes it is so in the life of God's children. That is sometimes their lot. Oh, think, children, about Joseph. How that he also was forced out. Then he had to go away from that service in the house of his father. And when they may gather for that worship of the Lord to be instructed by their father. And now Joseph, he has to live so far away from it. All that was his lot. When we think about Daniel, we heard a little yesterday, two young people. When he is forced to be so very far away, and then we find that this is the burden of that people. And we can read about the children of Israel, that they are going into captivity. And when they are there in captivity, Then there is a missing of that house of the Lord and the heart of that true people of the Lord. This is not the first time either for David. No, we know that he was chased as a partridge upon the mountains from his father-in-law, that he has to flee. And then he also speaks to his father-in-law, and he says, "You have cast me out this day," and that he is cast out from coming up unto the tabernacle of the Lord. Thus, the burden of that new life. David, He is crying, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." You say, children, why does David cry? Because he is so far away. Can the Lord hear him there? Oh, David, he believes in the true God. Daniel, when he was far away, and then he had his window open toward Jerusalem. Why? Was that because that he believed that God was a local God, and that he was only dwelling there in Jerusalem? Far from it. No, it is the true and the living God. And then they felt and they experienced that the Lord, he is everywhere, and that he knows everything, and that he is able also to hear them when they are so far away. How is that, young people? Are you glad with the omniscience of the Lord? With the omnipresence of the Lord. Are you glad with that? And not only young people, but every one of us. Or are we glad? On the one side, what does that mean? That means that everything we say, and everything we do, and every place to which we go, that the Lord sees it. That the Lord knows it, and that there is a record that is being written in his book for which that we must give an account every day, every hour. Thus it is a warning to keep us on the other side. Has it ever been a great comfort to you? All that wherever that you are, that the Lord is. Has it ever been a comfort to you, children, when you have a need, that you may go on your knees? Yes, sometimes you do not even have the opportunity to go on your knees. Is that ever a comfort to you? That you can even in one moment cry in your heart to the Lord, and that the Lord knows, and that the Lord hears, and that the Lord, he answers prayer. Oh, he is not as those idols which have eyes, but they cannot see, but have a mouth, and they cannot speak, and so on. He is the living God. David, he cries. Do you know what Ezekiel says? He says, I have scattered them, my people, the Lord. The Lord, he says, I have scattered them. But although I have scattered them, although I have chased them, and in my providence, they have not a place in my house, yet I will be to them a little sanctuary in that place that I have driven them. Have you ever experienced this, congregation? In the places where you may be in this world, in your barn, in your car, in your home, have you ever experienced that the Lord was there? A little sanctuary, and that you have felt something of his nearness and of his presence. It is possible, even as David, who was not so far away, but it is possible not to be far away physically and still to be so far away in our feelings. O congregation, it is possible to be sitting right here in the house of God and to feel so, so far away. Do you ever feel that? Young people, could be that you live in a large family. That may be. And yet it may be. Though you have so much business and so many people around you, that you feel very alone. Do you ever feel that? Then it is possible to be under all the means of grace, to have His Word, and to feel, even though we are brought so, so close to the kingdom of God, and yet to feel so, so far away. We read, but we do not understand. We listen, but we do not hear it. We pray, but there is no access. The bride, she says, I opened to my beloved, but he had withdrawn himself. And he was gone. He was gone. He was so far away. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called to him, but I received no answer. From the ends of the earth. Congregation, we have to go to our second thought. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Overwhelmed, what is that? That is to be completely covered. That is as if we are drowning. That is to be in complete darkness. And then we feel as if that there is no hope. When my heart is overwhelmed. When my heart is overwhelmed. That is not just when his body is overwhelmed, but when his heart is overwhelmed, oh, do you ever consider your heart? Or do we know the difference between being overwhelmed for the things of this life, or how much we can be overwhelmed with? Cares of this life, the cares of our families, parents, they can sometimes overwhelm us. But here he says, my heart is overwhelmed. My heart that feels like it is just completely covered, completely in darkness, completely without hope. And why? Well, we said separation, yes. Then David, he cannot endure that separation. But congregation, there is more. And why? Because David has brought this on himself. He has brought it on himself. David's sin comes back to him. Do you believe your sin will come back to you, young people? Be sure your sin will find you out. It is coming back. David's sin was coming back. You say, what sin? The Lord had said, the sword that shall not depart from thy house. Now, why? The matter of Bathsheba, the matter of Uriah. He had slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. He was a murderer. The Lord, he had forgiven him his sin. And yet, David will still have to smart for it. And now, his own son, he has come forth out of his own bowels. He is wanting to take his life. O congregation, where is our greatest enemy? Our greatest enemy that is from within us. From within us. What do we read in God's word? We read that from the heart, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Do you know what lives in your heart? These, the Lord Jesus says, are defiling the man. Oh, for David, it is his own fault. Has it ever become for you also your own fault? Absalom. You say, a wicked man. Did David know that? Yes. He knew that. Insurrection against the king. Does David know what has to take place? Does David know what justice is? Does David know what is good for his kingdom? Does David know what is right? He knows it. He knows it. Can do it. It is his flesh. It is lying, congregation, too close to his own heart. Deal gently with the young man for my sake, even with Absalom. O congregation, the Lord has to take it over for David. Because it is for David impossible to put this away. It is lying so close to his heart that even the honor of the Lord, oh, there is a struggle, a struggle. Does David love the Lord? Oh, yes. He loves the Lord. And then we can say, we can repeat the word of God. He who loveth father or mother, son or daughter more than me. But let it happen in our life. Let that which is most dear to us have to be ripped away from us. Oh, then it will be tested. What is my love for the Lord? Oh, does it exist? Is it real? How strong is it? Oh, David, he cannot come out of it. David cannot fix it. David cannot give it a resolution. It is too hard for David. That separation, he has to endure it. He longs to come back. does not know how to come back? Does he blame that son? Oh, no. Oh, no. That son, he has come forth out of my bowels. Let him curse, because the Lord, he has bidden him to curse. It is not Absalom's fault. It is my own fault. And it is his own fault that he has now to be so far away, and that he is not able to come back again. The Lord has to do it. It is, congregation, the only way. Is the Lord unjust? No. He is not unjust. Take the ark back. If it pleases the Lord, if he has pleasure in me, he will bring me back again. When my heart is overwhelmed, he cannot put it away, and yet he cannot do without the Lord. And what can he do? He cries. He cries to God. He says, Lord, help me. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto the voice of my prayer. And he takes courage in what? He remembers what the Lord has done for him. He goes back. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. He remembers. He remembers. And when that giant Goliath, oh, he had to go out to meet him, and how he had no strength, but in the zeal and for the name of the Lord, how he has gone out after that enemy, and how that the Lord with his strength, he has undergirded him, and that he has brought that strong enemy to the ground. Oh, he remembers how that when he had to flee from Saul, that he had not to take it into his own hand, but the Lord himself, he took up David's case. And now he says, Lord, thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Oh, he pleads. He pleads on what? He says, Lord, thou art unchangeable. Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what thou hast done for me in the past, to the glory of thy name, oh, do it for me again. Does he deserve it? He does not deserve it. Oh, what does he plead upon? He pleads upon the attributes of God, because there is nowhere else for David to go. He can only say, Lord, I cry unto thee, because from my side it is all wrong. All wrong. Oh, he pleads on his unchangeableness. And he asks for what? He asks for mercy. He asks for grace in the midst of all his troubles. And when he is at the ends of the earth, and when his heart and that is overwhelmed, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. Let us sing 159:1-4. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee, but thou wilt hear my cry. And what follows in 1:2 and 4 and 159. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. A rock. What does that speak about? That speaks, congregation, about a support. That speaks about a hiding place. That speaks about a cover. And that is over against that David says, my heart is overwhelmed. Then when he may have children, when he may feel like he is going to be covered, like he is going to be overwhelmed, let's say, by a storm, and then he is looking for a cave. And a cave that is higher than he is. And a cave that will protect him from everything, because David, he is exposed. The enemy that is all about him. And that Jerusalem, we know, that is a great city. And that Jerusalem that has walls to protect him. But David, he cannot come now into Jerusalem. But congregation, Jerusalem, it was beautiful for situation. It was the joy of the whole earth. It was the city of the great king. But it was not David's trust. No, David, he goes now to the substance. He goes now to him who is the undergirding of Jerusalem, that is God. God, we read, he is known in her palaces for a refuge. Oh, thus David. He cannot come in this moment unto Jerusalem, but David, he comes unto God. And then we see in the Word of God how that it is the Son of God who is called that refuge. That refuge, he says, that is higher than I. Oh, in the revelation of that dear Son of God, but that church may be given to see in him over against everything that would overwhelm them, that he is the protection against all the enemy, and that in the justice of God, that he is alone, that hiding place, that refuge, and that may shield them from the wrath of God, from every accusation that the enemy can bring in. Oh, the active and the passive obedience, being the solution, being the answer to which people may flee. Oh, then David, he is looking unto that refuge. That is, congregation, the substance. Thus, not Jerusalem, although Jerusalem may be outwardly the form, but the God of Jerusalem. We have a form also. But what happens when the form is gone? Take away, congregation, the form. We need the form. The outward church, we need it. It is the institution of the Lord for the building up, for the bringing in of his kingdom. We need that form. What happens when the form is gone? What is left? If we have nothing more than the form, then there is nothing left. But David, he had something left. When the form fell away, and when he was forced to be away from that house of the Lord, he says, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Lead me. Why? Why does not David just come there? Just go there, David. Why are you asking to be led to that rock? What is his experience? He cannot come to the natural Jerusalem. He cannot come unto this rock. That is his experience. He sees what he needs. He knows what he needs, but he cannot come there. Faith, that is a gift of God from the first congregation to the last. All God's children, God's exercised children, they cannot give themselves one exercise of faith that they may have assurance. They don't have just a button, we say, to push, then they can believe. No. Lead me. There is a story on the shores of England that there is a place where there are steep cliffs that rise up out of the water, and that many mariners, they have been shipwrecked in this place and they have died in the waters. Why? Because it was not children a shore that they could come up, but it was a cliff and they could not climb up that cliff. Then there was a clergyman and he has carved steps in that cliff. And a large place, which was for the salvation of many of those sailors. But time, over time, the bottom of those steps has been worn away. So that now that hiding place could be seen, but it could not be reached. And thus, those sailors, when they would be shipwrecked in that place, they were now in full view of that hiding place, but they could not come there. Congregation, there is a people. They are given to see him through the lattice of that word of God. All that rock that is higher than I. All they know by the Spirit of the Lord. They are given a hope. Their heart that is given to go out to him. The blessed Son of God, the only rest, the only protection, the only place of refuge. But they cannot come there. They cannot just believe in him. They cannot receive him by a living faith in the experience of the soul. And therefore their cry that is with David, O Lord, lead me to that rock that higher is than I. Bring me there. O lead me step by step. There is their rest from all the enemy. There is their peace. O congregation, we have to close. There is comfort in heavenly things. Do you believe that? Comfort that is in heavenly things. What is thine only comfort in life and in death, that I might know that I am not my own. There are things that are closely related to heavenly things. Are there not, children? Those things that are closely related, that is the house of God, the service of the Lord, the ordinances of the Lord. Is that our delight? Is that our delight? If it is our burden, then heaven itself would be a burden. Then we should not wish to come there, because there is nearness unto God. But in the house of God, that is the closest place that we can come unto God, because he says, here will I dwell. Oh, is that our delight? And yet, do you say, at the ends of the earth, oh, we do not ask if you are converted. We will not ask you if you know something of the Lord Jesus Christ in this morning. Do you know something of what David says here? At the end of the earth, he says, will I cry unto thee? So far away, so far away. And is your heart overwhelmed by that? That you fear to drown? That you fear to perish? What is the experience of such a people? The experience is that even if they may see him, they cannot come there. And therefore their cry is, Lord, lead me, lead me. But what had to happen for David, that he could come back to Jerusalem, what had to happen? You know, children? Absalom had to die. What is it, people of the Lord, that is living that bosom sin so close to your heart that you cannot get rid of? That you say, only the Lord is able to cut it off. Oh, ask. That is to pray against ourselves, isn't it? That our Absalom would die. Oh, may the Lord cut him off and bring his people back unto himself. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may acknowledge thee for thy help that thou hast given unto us in this morning hour. Bless thy word. Take away what stands between us and thee. And wilt thou bring us back again, for the first time, but also by renewal. Bring us safely to our places, and with desire in thy house again in this afternoon, help him that will go before us, Forgive our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 228, 1, 2, and 3. Lord God of hosts in mercy, my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our fathers, God, give ear. 1, 2, and 3 of 228.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.